Every so often, a church or a pastor comes to a day and there's just kind of one central theme that kind of drives it. But on other occasions, sometimes you feel it like you're at a crossroads where a number of roads are going through the day. And that's kind of where we are today. I mean, on the one hand, you have something of a tradition of celebrating Reformation Sunday on this particular day of worship, and as evidenced by the picture of Martin Luther down there and other Sundays where you have had speakers address the Reformation. I believe that we also have another road running through the day, which I'm bringing to the worship, and that is the theme of All Saints Day. It's coming up this next week, and so I bring that. And then there's, I think, another road that just is driving through our day, and that has to do with the events of this past week. I mean, we have to feel like our world has been shaken a bit by the hatred, the violence, the pain of many in our country especially. So those all kind of come and weave their way through our day, and we do our best to try to let Scripture speak to each of those, and I will seek to try to do the same. Today, I just want to pull out a number of passages that we find in the New Revised Standard Version. And that version particularly loves to use the word saint or saints. Some of the other translations of Scripture don't use that word, but I particularly like that version, the New Revised Standard Version, because the word saint comes up frequently. I mean, if I were to ask how many times you think that word shows up, some might say 10, some might say 20, some might say, well, 40 times. No, in fact, the word saint or saint shows up in the New Testament 68 times, and particularly with the Apostle Paul in his writing. So I'm not going to read all 68, yay, but I am going to read a few of them. One from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. Love the Lord with all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. And you can hear the association of saints and the faithful. Book of Acts. Now Peter went here and there among all the believers, and he came down also to the saints living in Lydia. To Romans. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Again, from 1 Corinthians. For God is a God not of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Ephesians. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God. Colossians. Giving thanks to the Father who enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And Revelations. In fact, the book of Revelations has the word saint more than any other books. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we gather as your saints, those who seek to be faithful, loving, compassionate, obedient. So speak to us as you have done so in the past to other saints that have gone before us. May we hear your word. May it become a part of us, and may it find its way into our actions and our words. Let your Holy Spirit be present as we seek to obey. Amen. I have a sense that the relationship between Protestants and Roman Catholics have improved over the last 20 or 30 or 40 years. In fact, I've heard horror stories, really, of how these two groups have warred with each other in the past. And in fact, some of that story is a part of my family history. See, my father was part of the Roman Catholic tradition. I still have his missal and his prayer beads. However, my mother was a good Protestant, came from a Presbyterian home. And as I understand the story, which I'm getting with many years in between, when my father and mother decided to get married, Dad asked my mother to convert to Catholicism and be married in the Roman Catholic Church. Well, Mom was having none of that, and so my dad, being somewhat of a marginal Catholic, I guess, gave in. And so the two of them traveled from Montana out to Seattle and were married by a Presbyterian minister in Seattle. However, the upshot of all that was that my dad was then shunned by his family. They just kind of turned their back on him. So growing up, I remember being much closer to my mom's family than to my dad's clan, with which I had very little contact. And so my sense is that though there are such stories perhaps in our past, my hope is that we have become less hostile and more hospitable to our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that doesn't mean Roman Catholics and Protestants still don't have some differences. We do, and they are significant. They still approach communion from two very different perspectives. Secondly, their authority is different. You know, the Roman Catholic tradition relying more on church tradition and the papacy. And for us as Protestants, our authority is grounded in Scripture. And a third difference is how we see saints. It's a difference between us. With the Roman Catholic Church voting on special people as saints, and we saw that, I think within the last 2 weeks, seven new saints or people were crowned saints. But the Protestants, we accept a much broader perspective or view of who the saints are. And I'm going to address that in just a bit. And it's quite natural, I think, for us to consider our sainthood today because, as I said, All Saints Day is just around the corner. As we know, Halloween is coming up on Thursday. And Halloween gets a lot of attention. You know, consider the money spent on candy, costumes, parties, and dentist bills afterwards. Take that all together, and quite frankly, Halloween may be in second place in terms behind Christmas in terms of consumerism and retail spending. But even though Halloween is coming, I don't want it to steal all our thunder this week. Because All Saints Day, which is the day after Halloween, I believe is worthy of our focus and our attention. I especially like All Saints Day, because it provides us with an opportunity to remember the great saints of the past. And here is perhaps where we intersect with Reformation Sunday today. I mean, we do not come to this church universal in a vacuum. We have many who have gone before us. We have many saints on whose shoulders we stand in order to be here. An early church father by the name of Tertullian had this quote. He said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And given the size of the church today, we can only imagine the sacrifice of two men, so many that have gone before us. Such people as Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and in fact Tertullian himself, who was martyred. And so it's good for us to stop and remember those and to give thanks for those who have gone before us and laid down their all for the witness of the church to be strong in the world. It's good to remember them. I think it's also good to remember the saints of a particular church, and I would say this particular church. I'm sure that many have blazed a trail of faithfulness so that you and I can be in this place today. I don't know the names as you know them. You are more familiar. You have lived that history. But you know, I at least have a sense of some of the building blocks. I did a service here, memorial service, a couple weeks ago, and I got to hear the story of how Eugene Bird's faithfulness was a part of this church. And it sounds like a bit of his partner and cohort in ministry, Ted. But I'm sure you can remember the names of so many others who have forged the way of ministry, whether that was in the ministry of stewardship or outreach or worship or music or education or discipleship. And so I also want to invite you to remember. Remember the saints of those who have gone before you in this church, and to give thanks for their sacrifice and their commitment that birthed and grew this church. And then there's another layer of remembering. I want you to remember and recall and celebrate the saints in your own personal journey. Those who nurtured you along the way. Make that an exercise. As I pondered that this week, I remember my grandmother's chair, and beside it was a Bible and the devotional, the upper room was always there. I recall the saint of my mother, who always, always made sure that we were in worship. I remember a number of youth workers in my past who nurtured me in my faith and helped me fall in love with Jesus. And I remember a pastor whose wise and guiding hand steered me, or at least allowed God to use him to move me into ministry and a life of joy and fulfillment and purpose. So as you leave today, don't leave this service and this sermon here. Keep writing it. After today, I invite you to take some time. Remember those saints of the past. Remember the saints of this church. And remember the saints in your own personal life, those who molded and melded you in your walk in Christ. All Saints' Day. It's a wonderful opportunity to stop and remember and give thanks to God for the people who have gone before us. Secondly, All Saints' Day, I think, serves as a wonderful opportunity for us to claim our own selves as saints. Perhaps you don't wear that or don't think that's a hat you wear, but you do. It's interesting that this is a wonderful prime time of year for us to kind of stake our loyalties. I already heard one about the Florida football team. But it's, you know, lots of things are going on sports-wise. And people, you know, the World Series, who are you for, Boston or L.A.? Or there's opportunities. Basketball, pro basketball is starting. Hockey's starting. And there's college football that's going on. You know, who do you support? Where are your loyalties? And people flaunt those loyalties. I think sometimes it's just disgusting. I think it's just disgusting sometimes how people do that. You know, but we do. We stop and we claim our loyalties. Well, today I want you to take this as an opportunity to claim your identity as a saint of God. And it's identity that doesn't come to us, you know, as the Roman Catholic Church where you do something miraculous and then you're voted in. It doesn't happen that way for us Protestants. No, sainthood comes to us through the hints of Scripture. What does the Bible give us in terms of some of the criteria of the saints? Well, again, perhaps if we look at those 68 passages, the term saint is used, we come to the conclusion that the qualities that reveal who the saints are might be as follows. Saints are people who seek to be faithful, who are committed, who are courageous, who are selfless. Any of that resonate with you? Saints are those who are giving and serving and loving, to name a few. The saints that are referred to in Scripture were not perfect people. Hear that, please. They were not perfect people. They were flawed, just as we're flawed. And the saints were not people who did great and spectacular and miraculous things. No, they were people like us who just simply try to be faithful and loving in our daily lives. And Scripture does not bestow sainthood on people who go through an examination. Rather, we are made saints by the grace of God. That last line in the New Testament. It's time you and I claimed our identity as the saints of God, because heaven knows the world needs it. The world needs our sainthood and our love and our care. Saints are not people who do extraordinary things. They are simply people who do ordinary things with great love. I don't know if you're dressing up for Halloween or not, but all of us wear the garb of sainthood. So let us claim who we are. And lastly, let us not only own this identity, let us live that identity as well. I'm excited for you. As a church, you are called a new pastor, and you stand on the edge of a new and exciting chapter in the beginning of this church's life. And if there is one thing that's going to be required of you, it's that when Anthony shows up here, that he finds a church of saints, people who are committed to worship and to service and to worship and to fellowship and a prayer. The saints of God, filled and equipped by the Spirit, can do, as Paul says, more than you can ask or imagine. I'm going to keep my ear to the ground and listen for the ways in which God is going to use you in ways that you can't even ask or imagine. I'm going to pray for your sainthood and this new chapter in your life. So yes, Halloween is around the corner. but so is All Saints Day. Don't let it slip by without remembering the saints who have been part of your life, without owning your own sainthood, and without committing yourself to the work of being a saint. As Paul wrote, "And God who searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And the Spirit will be in your life in this new beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. We call it a prayer of consecration, O God. It is a prayer of our commitment. It is a call and a prayer of our surrender. It is a call and a prayer of laying our lives in your hand and then allowing the Spirit to work in and through us in ways that we never could have asked or imagined. I pray for this church, O God. Let your hand of love and compassion and power and service be upon them. Guide them into the future and equip them with a spirit in which nothing is impossible for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.